Please do keep your Bibles open, page 127, as we look at this amazing story. Does prayer work? Yes, it does. It worked for me at 5 o'clock this afternoon. I was on the top floor of Churchill Square car park, and there was a queue of 15 people in front of me waiting to pay their parking fee, and I thought, I'm not going to make it. John Hobbs insists that I be at church at 6 o'clock, and I'm just not going to make it. The 14 people in front of me all had notes and cards. I had coins. The machine suddenly decided to just accept coins. Everybody just parted, and I went straight to the front of the queue. Does prayer work? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for a safe passage back from Brighton this afternoon for me. Thank you that you've answered prayers, and you are answering prayers for so many people here in church tonight, people we know about. And we are so grateful for the privilege of prayer. Maybe all of us could say yes. Prayer does work, perhaps sometimes in ways we don't expect, but we thank you that we can come to you in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. After his cat got stuck up a tree, a vicar mounted a rescue operation. He climbed a ladder, tied one end of a rope to the narrow trunk, and the other end to the tow bar of his car. He gently drove forward, and the inevitable happened. The rope snapped, catapulting the cat into the sky. No more was heard of the cat until a few weeks later, when the vicar went to visit a member of his church, a young mum with her little boy. In her front room, lying on the rug, was the vicar's cat. "How did you find such a lovely cat?" the vicar asked with thinly disguised innocence. "You'll never believe it," replied the mother. "My little boy has been asking for a cat for months. In the end, I got so tired of it, I told him to come out into the garden where I was hanging out the washing. I told him the only thing to do was to pray. So we put our hands together, looked up to the heavens. 'Dear Jesus,' we prayed, 'please, please send us a pussycat.' And you never guess what happened next, Vicar." No, whether you're in a garden praying for a cat or in Churchill Square car park, prayer is not a trivial matter. It really does change lives. It really does change situations. It's an important part. You get that impression, don't you, as you heard the notices, all the prayer meetings that happen. It's a part of what we do. It's a part of our experience together, not just for ourselves, but together. We come together to pray as Christians. God heals relationships. God heals people and draws people to himself. People become Christians because other people pray. How do we know? Well, Jesus himself talks about it. He talks about the incredible privilege and power in the presence of God as he teaches about prayer. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20 says, Jesus says, "Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." If you agree about anything, two of you, and ask for it, it will be done for you. The first thing that Jesus promises here is an authority and power in prayer that when we pray and when we pray together, it is effective. It can change things. We experience a power in praying together. And when we gather together to pray, we also experience, in a special way, the presence of God. Jesus promised this, and then the disciples experienced both this power and this sense of presence as they had times of prayer together. If we went back to the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1, it talks about how the disciples constantly met together for prayer. There's one verse that I just want to point out on our way to Acts 12. And it's in chapter 1, verse 14. In talking about the disciples, it says all the disciples were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. They met together. They prayed together. So there we have it, the characteristic of the life of the early disciples, of gathering together constantly in prayer. And in chapter 12, we actually get to see the prayer of the church meeting together, the effect and how the disciples responded to it all. But perhaps not in a way that they were expecting. Let's look again, page 127. This is a serious time for the church, because one of the leaders of the early church has been killed, and then another one of their major leaders, Peter, has now been put in prison. And Herod is expecting that he will be tried and then he will execute Peter as well. So what does the church do? It goes to God earnestly in prayer, fervently. They're not going naively thinking that, oh, maybe if somebody knows God, they're going to, well, not going to have this problem anymore. They know that they've got serious problems. And they also know that going to God in prayer is being a way of communicating with him and having his presence with them. They are being persecuted. They know things are against them. And so as they go to God in prayer, it's important to see what they experience as they go to God and bring their request before him. Look at verses 6 to 11. Just read over what it was like for Peter at that time. What was Peter expecting? We're not really sure. We know that he was praying. We know that Peter probably anticipated that the church was praying for him. But what was he thinking? We know that Peter believed that God could answer prayer. But Peter is there in jail, bound in chains. We don't know how long, but it's the day before his trial now. So he's probably really praying about his situation. And meanwhile, he's still sitting there in jail. It seems that there are about 16 people between him and freedom. And so when the angel comes and things begin to happen and says, "Get dressed, Peter, let's get going," Peter doesn't even believe that it's really happening. He's thinking he's having a vision. It's only when the angel leaves, we read, and he's there outside the prison, that he comes to his senses and realized all that was going on. He was praying, and yet God answered him in a way that he wasn't expecting. Maybe the church, those church members were doing a little bit better than Peter. They were praying. And I love here in Acts 12, the honesty of the Bible. Verse 12, as soon as Peter realized he was free, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, where many had gathered and were praying. When Peter knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, She was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. "Don't disturb us, we're praying." They've been praying for Peter. They know that God answers prayer. It's the very last minute before the trial. A special prayer meeting, maybe, for Peter. But do they have the door open? Are they looking down the street to see whether he's coming? No, they're caught out. They're caught by surprise. Rhoda hears the knock and she's so excited that she runs back and leaves him standing at the door. Maybe the rest of the church do better than Rhoda. What did they say to her? Verse 15. They said to her, "You're out of your mind." But they know that prayer works. They've been told to pray to God. They have been praying, expecting God to answer, and yet not in a way that they were expecting. These are the faithful servants, the early church we read about. And you know what? I like these people because they're just like me. And maybe they're just like some of you too. Yes, God's going to answer our prayer. He's going to protect Peter, but not this way. They said, "It must be his angel." Okay, maybe something has really happened, but it's not Peter. Meanwhile, and I love that picture, Peter is still knocking. And when they finally opened the gate, they saw him, and they were amazed. He tells them in that lovely way, "Calm down, calm down." Isn't that typical? When they do see him, they're jumping up and down, screaming and shouting, and Peter has to explain calmly how God had delivered him. What were they praying for? Did they know that God would answer his prayer? That's a really serious result, isn't it, to the prayers of the church. Sometimes when we pray, we think that to pray with faith means we have to know how God is going to answer and when. And sometimes we do have that insight. We know clearly how God might answer our prayers. Sometimes somebody has a word of knowledge, a special insight given by God that this is the way to go, and this is how God is going to answer the prayers. This is how his will be done. But the lovely thing from this passage in Acts 12 is that this wasn't happening at all for the church. They knew God answered prayer. They were expecting an answer from God, but they had no idea how God was going to protect them, the church. Maybe they didn't know for sure that God was going to protect Peter because James had died. Maybe it was Peter's turn as well to die for his faith. Now maybe God would protect Peter, but maybe he had to go through the trial and then be protected afterwards. They didn't know. But they knew that God answered prayer. And so they continued to pray earnestly that God would act. And I believe that this is the experience that we are called to as we pray together, as we attend all those prayer meetings that John announced at the beginning of this service. The ones that we're not too sure whether to put in our diary or not. But we still pray because we are convinced that the God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ has promised to answer prayer. And we trust, don't we, in God's ability to change things? Or do we? How do we pray? Do we pray with that assurance? Well, perhaps we do know because we hear testimony of God's love, God's power through testimony and personal stories. Maybe even something we've experienced ourselves. Maybe, yes, maybe in a Brighton car park. But it's true. prayer does work. Let me remind you of those verses again from Matthew 18. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." And yet we might say, well, I do pray. I know exactly what I'm praying for. But like the church, and like Peter, and like Rhoda, we get it slightly wrong because we're not in tune with what God's will and purpose is. Maybe you've been praying for someone for a long time and God's not answered it. Maybe he has, but not in a way that you were expecting, or dare I say, you were wanting. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows the future. He's got it all mapped out for us. It's us who don't know. Let us remember, every time we pray with other believers, Jesus is present. Let's remember, every time we pray, we know that God hears our prayer. Let's remember, every time we pray, that we should expect an answer, but not always in the way we expect. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the answers to prayer that we have already seen in our lives. We thank you for the many ways that you have been faithful. And so as we turn our hearts to the future, as we turn our hearts towards you, we pray that you will be leading us and teaching us how to pray. We thank you for every lesson that we have already learned. We thank you for the people around us who pray faithfully. And we pray now that we will move forward in deepening our relationship with you. For we ask all our prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.